Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. The week begins in the NFL because there's a Saturday night game.
Lions, Tigers, in bad. Oh, boy.
Oh, my. That's right. Commanders taking on the Lions Saturday night, so Wednesday becomes Tuesday. If you don't know what I speak of, in the NFL, you generally start your game plan, like your practice week begins, what is that, 5 days out, me, right? Mm-hmm. Sunday to Wednesday. So because they play Saturday night, today is going to be the first day of the practice week for the Washington Commanders. They'll go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday will be an off day, travel day.
On the road, baby.
And then Saturday night in Detroit, Rock City, for a huge matchup, huge opportunity. Everybody's aware of what Washington has done to get to this level. I just saw a tweet from the team, B. Mm-hmm. This is Dan Quinn is the first coach to win a playoff game in his rookie season in the Washington franchise. Do you know since who?
Who?
I don't know either. Whoever was coaching this team in 1943.
I know it went a long way back.
You'd have to get – do you think there's anybody that knows who that was off the top of their head? Rich Tandler, somewhere in heaven. Let us know.
There are some of these fans, these historians that would.
Like Andy Polin might know that.
Andy Dutch know. Bergman.
I mean, I looked it up too, Lanville. I now know Dutch
off the
Bergman.
Top of the head. What's the guy then that has the encyclopedia for the team?
Snyder?
No, it's a guy. No, I forgot his name.
Rick Snyder.
Not Rick Snyder. No. This guy here wrote this little book. He'll be able to tell you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dutch Bergman. He was born. I mean, he was born in the 1890s.
Oh,
he was born February 23rd, 1895.
Talking about history, boy. Woo.
Yo, listen. I've never heard of this town, but I'm sure it's beautiful. He was born in Peru, Indiana.
I don't know about most towns in Indiana.
he lived almost 100 years. He died. What's your birthday? August 18th? He died on August 18th, 1972.
I don't want to know about dying on 18.
Ships passing in the night. Played college ball at Notre Dame. They were the Redskins then in 1943. Coached the Skins for 1 year. They went 6-3-1, and they made it to the championship game. Mm. Landfill. Shout out to Dutch Bergman.
That guy got the job because their last head coach joined the Navy. It was during World War II.
That dude Flaherty was no joke. He was here
with
a
no
while.
Money back in the day, I guess.
Nah.
You leave an NFL team, you say, I'm going to join the Navy.
Yo, not only did he leave an NFL team to go join the Navy, this Flaherty, now this was the Sammy Baugh era. They were pretty loaded.
Yeah, yeah.
Flaherty, they won the title in 42, and then they went 10-1, won the title, and then he stepped down to join the Navy.
Yeah.
World War II, there was a feeling of intense patriotism. I don't know.
Yeah.
Frankly, that it's something that we can all really equate to.
Not at all.
But Flaherty won two titles, and I'm guessing Dutch Bergman was like his number two. There's another fellow by the name of DeGroote who lost the title, Dudley DeGroote, in 1945. So someday you'll be at a bar, and the question will be, what do Dan Quinn and Dutch Bergman have in common?
I'll have that answer for you.
Now you know the answer.
Well, we know it right now. I guarantee we wouldn't know it if they actually was in a bar.
Nah. Nope.
We would be like, who the hell is Dutch Bergman?
Shout out to Dutch Bergman. You know who came to play? The Los Angeles Rams.
They came to play, man.
I think a few things.
Well, at our landfill, you finally had a right to keep saying what you've been saying. Sam Darnold, he saw a ghost last night. I guarantee he was making that statement. He wouldn't say it out loud, but he said it in his head. That dude, bro, he holds on to the ball forever.
For me, watching that game last night, Kevin O'Connell could only hide the real Sam Darnold for so long.
Although, yeah, but you got to realize, the guy won 14 games.
I do want to clarify one thing.
Won 14 games.
I do want to clarify something real quickly. It's not that I finally have a right to say that Sam Darnold sucks. He sucked for 7 years, then was good for like a month and a half, and then returned to sucking again.
But I got to put some onus on Kevin O'Connell as well. You can't let Kevin get away with this one. Kevin kept waiting for all the deep routes with that dude that he knows that does not like to pull a trigger. He should have figured something else out and went to a quick game, because if he is going to wait until the guy gets 40, 50 yards downfield before he decides to throw the ball. And that's why he took 9 sacks, almost, I think, 10, 9 or 10 sacks that night. The coach got to change it up when you know that your quarterback is like he is.
I think it was 7, unless I'm missing
something. No. He had 9 at one point. He was close to setting the record.
All right, I'm counting. 1.5 and 1.5 is 3. +2 is 5. +0.5 is 5.5. 6.5. 7.5, 8. I got 8 from NFL Jesus, but
they on the broadcast they say he was at 9 sacks and about to set a record.
I feel vindicated a bit. A lot of folks were, you know, it was a legit talking point. Who's the best matchup for Washington when going into Week 18? It was unclear where they'd end up going. If it was Philly, if it was LA, or if it was Tampa. And throughout, I thought Tampa was the best option. And my thought was, I thought Sean was the best coach. L.A. came out on fire. Their early game plan, Stafford was dealing. The kid Higbee made a couple outrageous catches.
Yeah.
Nacua is a monster. I remember, I don't know why you and I were randomly talking Nacua like 2 months ago. They must have played a night game or something.
No. One of my buddies, Raven Caldwell.
Yeah.
Raven had, he met him. And Raven said, dude, that dude is about as tall as I am, man.
Dude, he's built like a fullback. He is so – did you see the one play probably late second quarter where he got hit? Like, it looked like just like a little hitch, and he was able to run for the first down with like three dudes hanging on him. I mean, what a monster that guy is. The Rams were really good early. Their defense then turned it on. Philly versus the Rams is going to be an interesting matchup, B.
It will be.
I don't know – you know, it's too early to decide. I don't know. They're playing Sunday, 3 o'clock. I think the Rams can hang with – Philly didn't look all that great.
They didn't look great.
And Green Bay
the Rams can hang with them, but the Eagles are way better offensively than what they showed last night with Minnesota.
Philly's 1-53 is the best in the NFL.
So, I mean, the thing about them, if Philly's going to win, like I watch a lot of plays. The kid, the number 33, the running back from Minnesota, he got a lot
Jones.
Of yards. Yeah, he was able to get some yards on him. They let Saquon get those yards. He going a distance.
Well, I also think their game plan last night was, we're not going to let Jefferson torch us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that you're giving up some underneath stuff.
Well, hell, they didn't have to worry about Jefferson because Sam Darnold wouldn't throw the ball anyway.
That's true. Do you think – I don't know – fair is the right word. I don't know the right word for this. Vikings won 14 games and end up on the road as a wild card. Like, do you think the NFL, especially as they've expanded, needs to?
No.
I don't either.
See, my thing is,
they had a chance to win the division week 18 and couldn't.
About the NFL has always been the same. You got to play. When the big games come along, you'll be playing your best. And Minnesota proved in 2 games, when the big games came along, they could not get up to their best. So that's your fault. You know, I understand people want to reseed all the time. But based off how they played last night, they wouldn't beat no damn body in the playoffs.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but eventually, the NFL is the one league I know for sure. If you're going to win the championship, you got to beat whoever. You got to beat the best of the best. So whenever you play them, you play them. Whether it's the first round, division, the wild card, whatever you do, you got to beat the best if you're going to get there eventually. And they didn't.
Yeah.
They fell flat on their faces 2 games in a row.
I totally agree with you. I thought the Rams were really good. The line for Rams-Eagles, what do you think that should be?
It should be, if in Philly, I would say I would go right around 3.5.
6.
I wouldn't put it there.
I would take the – take the points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Dude, if you look – now, Philly,
and
I
again,
think –
again, it might be about 1 degree up there.
Yeah, what is the Philly weather going to be? And on a – just on a human level, I was really glad – I don't know that the Rams winning is going to mean anything for people whose homes were burnt up.
Yep.
But, like, I just feel – I was glad that the city of Philadelphia got a win.
What you saw was – everyone was wondering, would they be able to focus? You've seen Brett Favre when his dad died.
Ball.
You know, people had mothers and died, and then they were injured. You, one thing about athletes, they know how to focus on what they need to get done. And when you start thinking you're playing for somebody else and not just yourself, you get way more. And it's the weirdest thing in the world. We will do more for others than we will for ourselves, you know. When you get that mindset going, hell, you can accomplish some amazing things.
Looking ahead to that Eagles-Rams game, Sunday, 3 o'clock in Philly, weather doesn't look that bad. It's surprisingly not that cold. Mm-hmm. Now, this could always change. It says mostly sunny, high of about 41.
Mm-hmm.
So that means it'll probably be in the 40s at kickoff.
It'll be in the 40s.
Probably get down.
It's going to feel like it's about in the 30s, though, because that little area where that water sits,
oh yeah,
it's amazing how much effect it has damn field right
And the
there.
Way the link is open in those opposite end zones feels like that wind's always mm-hmm. coming through there. It's going to be cold for sure, especially if you're coming from Los Angeles. Chance of snow that night, but that game, 3 o'clock kick, that game's probably over 7:30.
But the thing about the thing I was listening to them last night, they say, okay, they were flying back to L.A., and hats off to the Bidwells with Arizona,
yeah.
Because normally they're known as the cheapest SOBs in the world, but they went overboard to make sure that they can show the Rams hospitality, and you have to give them some more credit. But they were like, they don't know if they can even practice, like talking about, because of the air quality out there.
Right.
So what are they going to do? They have to move, go somewhere this week if they can't?
I don't know. Hell, you remember how bad the air was here when there were fires in Canada?
Yeah.
I mean, I can only imagine what it is in L.A. And maybe if you stay indoors, if they have an indoor facility. But out there, you build everything outdoors because the weather's always great.
Still need it.
I don't know.
Well, they should have built the indoor facility knowing that they have fires every other damn month.
It's true, yeah. Going to be fascinating to watch that game. I think the Rams are live in that one. But, you know, I was curious how much the fires and being kind of, you know, having to move and evacuated and whatever else would impact them this week. They looked ready to go. Vikings look bad, though, man. I had never been in the camp of paying Darnold. I recognize that may seem like reactionary or hindsight here, but you drafted McCarthy for a reason. And
yeah.
I know he's coming off injury, but
if he had played well in these last two games, Sam Darnold he can get a blank check. But the fact that he did not, he's on the mindset of somebody may take a chance, or he's going to be
a job.
Hell of a backup.
Right. But the fact Minnesota also signed Daniel Jones. And if Kevin O'Connell's able to do that in a year with Darnold, and you just need a bridge guy to get you to McCarthy in case he's not ready at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked McCarthy coming out of the draft, and I just wouldn't. I mean, you're going to have to pay Sam Darnold $45 million, $50 million? Are you in the
– At least.
Are you in the business of paying Sam Darnold $50 million?
Well, Minnesota's not doing it. Some other team may come out and do it, but Minnesota's not doing it. Because if you kept looking at O'Connell's face last night, KO basically was saying, hell no.
Right.
We are not going forward with this. Because he was, like, flabbergasted multiple times. Listen, man. This guy, I'm like, is there not a clock going off in his head? He sets up, shuffle, Pat starts to run. And decide he's going to set up again and just stand there and don't think nobody's coming? The offensive line has to be in the huddle like, yo, dog, you are killing us. Because when you start talking about the sack-worthy plays and who you have to blame, most of them was on Sam Darnold.
Last night?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be a hell of a weekend. Divisional round playoffs is always awesome. If you haven't looked at the complete schedule, you got Saturday afternoon, Texans at Chiefs. Texas defense is playing pretty well. I'm interested in that game, not in thinking Kansas City could lose, but the number on that is 8. Kansas City's offense hadn't been that great, but they did get better the last couple weeks. They're coming off the bye. That's 4:30. Then 8 o'clock, Commanders-Lions, Saturday night. I imagine there will be some bars in the DMV going off for that game.
Mm.
I think folks are going to be having fun.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday, everything.
And MGM going to be pumping again, I tell you.
Sunday, everything is now set. 3 o'clock Eastern on NBC. Rams at Eagles. Sunday night, 6:30. I mean, this is the big one. The ratings for this are going to be banana land. 6:30, CBS, Ravens at Bills. I think Lamar should win MVP. I think the numbers are just so nuts that he should win MVP. I think possibly even with a loss, he should still win MVP.
MVP is for the regular season.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a regular season award.
Is it?
Yes.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's dumb.
No, it's not, because it's the regular season award. Then you go to the playoffs and you got other awards that pop up. Super Bowl, all that stuff.
I think if the Bills win, have they voted? If they haven't voted, they should have voted.
By now. I think the MVP thing is a straight regular season award.
I mean, I think recency bias will come into effect if they haven't voted.
Yeah.
Don't you? If the Bills win, I think that will give Allen a chance to actually win this thing. I think if the Ravens win, I already think it's probably an 80% chance Lamar's winning it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they win, it goes to 100. I think if they lose, maybe it goes to 50-50.
All pro bowl, everything is voted up. I would think the MVP would be already voted on as well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Lamar was unanimous, basically number one, all pro.
Do you know the Ravens spread yet?
No.
What do you think it should be?
The Ravens against Baltimore. I mean, Buffalo beat them the first time, right?
Yeah.
I would still go with.
Actually, Buffalo beat the Chiefs.
They beat the Chiefs.
Did they beat the Ravens?
Did they play the Ravens?
I'm pulling it up.
I would go with. They're playing in Buffalo. I would go Buffalo -1.
Very, very close. They actually have installed the Ravens -1.
Oh, wow.
Buffalo played the Ravens in Baltimore week 4 and got their ass kicked.
Buffalo beat them?
No, 35-10 loss.
Baltimore lost.
Baltimore. Baltimore beat Buffalo 35-10.
In
Baltimore.
In Baltimore.
And in week 4. So well, you're talking
if,
4 months
if,
ago.
If Derrick Henry runs the ball like he did last week, I'm going all Baltimore. So, you know, that dude is a monster, bro.
Sure.
But think about it has helped, but still, the straw that stirred that damn coffee is Lamar.
Oh, yeah. Weather in Buffalo Sunday night. chance of snow. Chance of snow, mostly cloudy with a high near 24. So at 6:30 when they're kicking off, you're talking about probably 18. And who knows what it'll feel like. They'll have wind. You're going to have.
That mafia won't be feeling anything. They're going to be so damn drunk.
They won't be feeling a thing. I want to have a conversation here. This is a good idea from Cody yesterday. We'll go around the room and then we'll take calls on this. The Commanders are now into the divisional round of the playoffs. They're a good team. What playoff teams have they beat? That argument's non-existent now because they just won a playoff game on the road.
I don't care about the people that still want to go left.
I don't think people are, but if they are, they're idiots. Here's the conversation I want to have is, when did you know this team was legit good? When did you know this was different? What was the moment? Was it Hail Mary against Chicago? Like, what was that moment for you? We're going to go around. We're going to hit the phones, 800-636-1067. When did you know Washington was good this year? Not in the future, but now. Here's another thing. If you're looking to do something now, not in the future, but you need help with something now, if it's the biggest financial transaction of your life, if it's buying or selling a home, you need to call John Leahy.
Just like my friend Mike. Mike had been a landlord in Germantown for over a decade, and he no longer wanted to deal with some bad tenants. So Mike actually lives in Ohio. Relocate those tenants, find someone to make repairs, and basically take care of everything else since he doesn't live here. John Leahy and the Fine Living Group accomplished all of that. and got the property sold using their VIP seller program. And John and his team got a great offer and a great remote settlement, which led to Mike getting his home sold in 13 days and for 100% of the asking price. If you're looking for a seamless home selling experience, John's guaranteed offer might just be for you. See for yourself at johnsellsdmv.com. Talking about John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, John will let you out of your contract at any time.
At any time. It's stuff like that that separates John. He's not looking to put you in a bad situation. He's looking to put you in the best possible situation. If you're looking to sell fast, he's got a deep bench of buyers waiting. He can get that thing done ASAP. If you want to take your time and explore the market, have a conversation with John. He's got the home valuation tool on his website that can let you know how much equity you got in your place. And then if you know, hey, what if I just redo the kitchen real quick? If you know there are some little fixes you can make that would drive the value of your home significantly up before you sell it, talk to John. He can help tee you up your home for market by getting you up to $50,000 to make repairs and upgrades before you go to the market. That will get you more money when you sell your house and you just settle up with the upfront money at closing. Stuff like that makes a huge difference. Call John today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing. Jeff, we had this conversation yesterday about haters or not, and Moolah Jones listens to the show every day, and I appreciate him, and he tagged me in this thing last night on Instagram where he had a what's that?
That's Devon.
Is it? Oh, that's what I thought. Okay. You just put it out there, B.
No, I'm just trying to make sure you understand who it was.
So I think for Devon, he tagged me in this thing on Instagram that was a screenshot of, I don't know what channel, but say it was one of the pregame shows. And say there were eight people or whatever making their picks of Commanders Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Say like two
people. Everybody but one.
I think it was two versus six.
Tirico, I thought, was the only one.
Okay. Whatever that is.
Yeah.
That, to me, is not being a hater. Like, if you pick the other team, that's not being a hater. Now, if you want to talk about Dan Quinn's not going to keep it going, or they haven't beat anybody good, or Tampa didn't play that, or you got lucky with a Baker fumble. Like, there are comments that are haters. But, like, if we get to Detroit this weekend and people are picking Detroit, that's not a sign of haters.
Well, that's Detroit. That's not Tampa.
They were going on the road. They were an underdog. I don't think it's a hater to say you thought Tampa was going to win.
I walked in,
down to the wire.
But I walked in here this morning, and I went over there to talk to Maddie, who does the show with us. And Anna Newkirk. Anna said, some people still don't believe. Some people still hate.
Then they're idiots.
So they're idiots. Well, that's what I'm saying. There are a lot of people out there. So it doesn't make a difference whether they're in the media or they're out the media. There are people who do not want to get away from what was. That's haters. We got people we work with. Haters. Okay? Let's be real. So a lot of them out there. The ultimate thing is you can't constantly change. Move the goalposts and the goal line, whatever you want to call it. A lot of people are doing that. Every time they accomplish what they say they didn't do, then they got something else. That's hating.
Fine. I just don't think if you think the other team's going to win in a playoff game.
I think the other team's going to win. No, I don't think that has anything to do with it. But the ultimate thing is that there is hate out there. So,
well, I think at this point, you're just an idiot. You're a Cowboy fan or whatever, and you're just seeing what you want to see. Like,
they're probably more Bear fans than Cowboy fans that's doing it.
That's fine.
But they still hate.
I just think that's so stupid. Like, if you can't identify this as a good football team that's able to control the game through their offense, through their quarterback, then I just don't think you're either naive, honest, or have some other agenda that's driving you.
That's a lot of times what it is.
I just think that's so dumb. I don't like.
Look, it exists, though. That's the whole thing about it. It exists. It's not that it doesn't. It exists. People are out there and they think like that.
But specific to Devon's thing, that's not hating. Teams, you're allowed to pick different teams to win.
A lot of them don't want to give the team any credit based off of a Super Bowl loss. Remember, it's a Super Bowl loss. It was not a regular season loss.
DQ, you're saying.
Or the fact that this team hadn't done things before. Rex Ryan has gone the other side. Rex has to argue with this guy. He's telling him, look, this dude here is a train killer. Talking about Jaden. Well, people want to find everything they can.
I think, by and large, the word, like the national punditry surrounding Jaden Daniels is through the roof now.
Yeah, you got
people talking about the best rookie quarterback they've ever seen. Orlovsky said it was a combination of Mahomes and Lamar.
Yeah, I'm glad he finally came around because he wasn't around at first.
I don't care. Like,
I'm just saying.
But if the play forces them to change their opinion.
Yeah, but the thing about it is the play was good enough early enough to where you should have been thinking about what you're saying now. Then, I don't buy people that once there is no other way, you just go on the side that there is. I don't go with them then. You got to be forced because you say something negative now, you look stupid.
Sure.
So my thing is, if you can't see that early enough, then guess what? That's what I call hate. So I don't want to hear it once you won the race. I don't want to hear it once you already 75 yards ahead of everybody. I want to hear it when you still close enough. That's when they let me know you can get past what your personal feelings are and produce and say something about what something really is. But once it's all said and done, hell, what else you going to say?
I'm just left hand up. The haters can't stand us. To hell with all of them. Brian, when did you know this team was good?
I felt they were good when they went to the Bengals and then left the Bengals game and the way that they handled Arizona back-to-back. I said, you know what, this team is something special. You know, I understand the Bengals, once we beat them, then they want to start trying to knock them. Arizona, once we beat them, then they want to try to knock them. Before, they wasn't knocking them. But the way that they handled them, and you watch the way the offense was working, I say they have something going. Still didn't expect it to be like it is right now. And I'm at the point now, listen, I played this league 15 years. I don't care if the team didn't make the playoffs because they had one loss, too many, and you beat them. Maybe you're the reason they didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
You know, I don't buy that stuff about, they didn't beat a playoff team. You beat an NFL team. You beat a bunch of professional football players handily. And they did that a lot. They put 40 up on people, 38 on people. And you're telling me, it's not a playoff team. They didn't have to go out there and beat them 7-6. They beat them 42-14.
For me, it was the Bengals game. And it was specifically the Jaden to Terry touchdown throw is when I was like, oh, my God, this is very, very different. He got blasted on that, stayed in the pocket. It's week three he's been in the NFL. And I mean, I can almost go back. I think halftime of week two against the Giants is when Jaden was like, all right, I'm good. I got this. Because Jaden wins from the pocket. He then can use his legs, but his of all the superpowers that young man has, the best is his right arm from the pocket. Mm-hmm. And I think people get so confused and twisted by so many other things. That's what I saw at LSU, and that is what has continued. I think you saw it second half, week two against the Giants, and then what he did against the Bengals. I mean, it was the greatest rookie quarterback performance in a single game ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
In prime time.
Against Joe Burrow.
Against Joe Cool, as they call it.
Sure. Yeah. And I thought that performance was like, oh, my gosh. And what stood out to me throughout the year is this was not smoke and mirrors. Like, it was not – there was – Robert was really good, and they hit the ground running, right? Mm-hmm. But you knew that was not the basis of an NFL offense, right? Like, they were running different stuff, and maybe you can keep running it, it'll always work. But odds are you're going to have to do other things.
Yeah.
Jaden in that game was 21 of 23.
Yes.
And he ran another 40 yards, but he was 21 of 23 for 250 and two touchdowns from the pocket.
This is the one thing I think people forget, Jay. Before this season started, most people said this is a weak roster. They don't have enough personnel pieces in place. They got to get this. They basically were telling them go to the damn swap meeting, go get all types of players. Then when they start winning, then people go away from them. Oh, they're not that good. They're playing good now. Till now we got to dismiss them. Oh, but they're not beating anybody. They've done everything that they had to do. You know what I'm saying? And Tampa beat us in the first game. And people were praising Tampa. Then Tampa started to slide. And they came back strong at the end. Tampa wasn't playing against no damn barn burners either. But nobody said that about them.
Right.
You know, that is when I'm like, okay, only one team is held to that standard of, well, they hadn't beat a playoff team. Tampa beat teams like the Saints, the Panthers, that type of people going down the stretch. So what's the difference?
Right.
If both teams are playing the same people, why is one being knocked for not playing against and the other one is being praised talking about look how good they played? Hell, this team went on, what, a 5-6 game run, lost through two or three, came back and won five more. So they know how to play football.
Totally. Phone lines are lit up on this. I want to let all the boys weigh in. When did you know they were good? You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley right now. Shout out to Alan May. Today's Alan May's birthday. Happy birthday, Alan.
Happy birthday, old man.
Hope you're good, bud. Let's hit these phones. When did you know the Commanders were good? Let's start with David in Reston on line three. What's
up,
Dave?
What's going on, guys? Appreciate y'all having me on. So I was going to go with the Bengals game too, but you guys both already picked my answer. But I was torn between that and the Baltimore game. B-Mitch, I'm glad earlier you had mentioned that, you know, people were like, oh, you guys haven't beaten anyone, you know, up until that point. You know, people, even up until now, people are like, oh, Commanders are the luckiest team in the league. But I think for me, it was really impressive when we would play Baltimore and we were down, you know, a couple scores, you know, a couple times in the game. And Jaden, Dolphins brought us back. And I was just really more so impressed that we were able to hang with a team like Baltimore. Now, we're probably not at the point right now to beat the Baltimores, but it's like, okay, we're beating the Cardinals bad. That Monday night game was amazing, you know, Panthers and all that. But, you know, Baltimore, we hung with them. A questionable fourth down call against the Steelers, and, you know, that probably ends differently. Yeah. First time we beat Philly, you know, we were winning up until the fourth quarter. Like, we're hanging with these teams. And I think the Baltimore was really, like, the first time that I was like, okay, like, as long as we have Jaden, we can hang with any team in the league.
Yep.
And that's really kind of when it started to get, well, when I started to feel a lot more optimistic about the team and just kind of the future for that. But that Monday night game was just incredible, though. That was definitely the first time when I was like, yeah, we got someone with this kid.
All right, man.
Thanks,
appreciate
brother. Let's go out to L.A. Jack is in Los Angeles. Jack, when did you know the Commanders were good?
Man, I agree with B. Mitch. I knew the Commanders were good after the Arizona game, after we, you know, came out on Monday night and we've watched this team have success hangovers, right? They come out after a big game and they would kind of drop the ball the next week. But they came out to Arizona. We watched management make decisions that allow them to be successful, sent them to Arizona so they could spend the week out there on a short week and watch them dominate the Cardinals. And that's when I knew they were great. And I got to say, too, man, they became special last week. You know, it's been crazy living in L.A. this week. But for 3 hours Sunday night, I was able to forget about the world and watch my Commanders get their first playoff victory in 20 years. So thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, brother.
I love that, man. Glad you were able to get a good
distraction. Yeah, and I'll tell you this, man. If you talk to those guys, you listen to them talk, that week in Arizona did a lot for this football team.
Totally.
And I know people have heard me talk about, I know training camp comes up, everybody, oh, I want to be, I'm like, I want them to go somewhere. Because that time together builds a team. When you're here at home, you don't stay together like you're supposed to. So they on the road, they had to deal with each other. They had to depend on each other. Training camp away, 2 weeks, whatever, 1 week, will help more than being right here at home.
And you don't have to go the whole time.
Yeah.
Right? What if you go for, like, honestly, I mean, they did the two away training camp practices.
Yeah.
That probably built some of that, too.
Yes.
Let's keep these phone lines going. We are all over the place today. Mark is down in Florida. What up, Mark?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are we doing today?
Doing good, brother.
My sentiments are the same as the previous caller. The Baltimore game, that was when I knew that we had something going. The look on Jaden's eyes in the last of that game, after we lost, was like, okay, this kid gets it.
Hell yeah.
All right, man.
Good call. Thanks, buddy. Since we brought him up earlier, we'll go to Devon in Rockville. What up, D? When did you know they were good?
What up? I'm gonna say the Baltimore game, too, because of the way that we competed. And just, you know, just to, protect myself. the reason why I tagged you in that, JP, is because I don't know how much, like, national, like, kicks that you watch. You know what I'm saying? Because you're a very busy man. But I really, every time we win, it's like, oh, yeah, they got a good quarterback, but they just don't have the pieces. Oh, it's young. He's a rookie. So how far can – I watch all this. That's all they talk about. And like B. Mitch just mentioned, though, now they're forced. I watched all the national media leading up to our first playoff game. And a lot of people said, it's a rookie. He's a rookie. Yeah, he's good. But rookies don't go on the road. They don't do this. And he really don't have a good supporting cast.
My point, D, was just that if teams pick – if no, analysts pick right. the other team, that's not hate. If there's other stuff, then that could be different.
But this is what I'm saying, JP. Yes, they're picking the other teams because of them not believing totally into what we're doing over here.
It's possible they just think the other team is good.
How? Like D. Mitch said,
it was a playoff game, and Vegas had them as the favorites.
Okay. They only favored by three because it's a home. They home.
Right. But like, dude, we can't look at every piece of analysis as hating. Now, if somebody's saying, they haven't beaten anybody, what have they proven? That's hating.
So what do you say about this, JP? Like
what I say is I got like eight other callers I'm supposed to get to.
Okay, real quick. Tampa Bay went on they was on 6-2 at the end. We was on a 5-game. And when we came in and beat them, now all this week so far, oh my God, yeah, Washington can finally do it. They was not saying that. They have to say it now.
I just don't think I care about haters as much. I'd rather talk about what they've accomplished and what, at least for us, if you listen to this program every day, I think Brian and I have thought this is a pretty damn good team for a while. The only real time I questioned was the Cowboys loss. And I think they laid an egg, and I thought Bobby Wagner nailed it the best in the locker room after. He said, yo, this is the ebbs and flows of football. Sometimes you hit little low points. I think we are devoting too much time to whatever morons might be saying on Twitter. Like, who cares? Right?
Well, I don't devote a lot of time on it. I just call them haters, and they know I'm talking directly to them, and then they can say something to me or not.
Now, like, there are – I think you and I recognize people within – not necessarily, like, our market or whatever, but there are people that you and I know have been haters throughout the season and have had to slowly kind of change their tune. But here's my point, I guess. If somebody is dumb enough to still be saying, I'm not sure what they've built, these guys aren't that good, they're just morons. And just ignore them. Mm-hmm. If you're saying that today on January 14th, when they're going to Detroit to play in the divisional round, just ignore them. Will is in Ashburn. Will, when did you know they were good?
Brother Will. Yeah, what's up, fella? Yeah. This is a good question. Real quick, let's see, Cincinnati game, I thought they were good, but I didn't realize how good because you could be good. But, like, seeing Jaden being able to elevate, you know, the team to a different level and doing what good teams do before going into playoffs on a 5-game winning streak, you know, that solidified it here. But, B-Mitch, you said something earlier I wanted to say because I'm a truck driver, so I listen to 106.7 The Fan 24/7 while I'm working 10 hours a day. And, you know, I can feel the hate from the different programs on your station because, you know, you said Dan Orlovsky changed his tune. But I think it when they have an opinion and like somebody and it doesn't come to fruition like they wanted to, so they get a little saucy. They don't give, you know, the recognition or one, you know, Jaden shows and proves he's a, you know, good player. So, mm-hmm. like, you know, Drake May, you know, he's a good player, but, you know, not being drafted and,
you know, I hear you. We're up against it, and I'm just – who cares? Detroit this week, I hear you, and I appreciate you listening to us. Landfill, when did you know they were good?
I actually think the Cardinals game is really the answer there because, you know, even when the teams in the past years where they've kind of sucked, they've occasionally had a solid game or two. When they were, like, back-to-back just going out there and straight beating the hell out of other teams, that's when I knew they were good.
Yo, and then they came back and did it in Cleveland, too.
Yeah.
Like, every opportunity to lay an egg, they just didn't do it.
They did, man. And they, listen, man, I know they had that three-game thing in the middle. And it's the NFL. People get banged up. Hey, they were banged up, too. But other teams get an excuse. They don't. Think about that.
Jeffrey, when did you know they were good? Training camp?
Off season.
All right, we'll let Jeff weigh in later. When we come back, Barstool Nate joins the program. He might have a message for the haters.